If you were a little kid, you were 2 years old, and you're holding the controller upside down, I'm going to play you like you're the best player in the world. So I'm going to give you my, I'm going to like body you. I don't care.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, 2 year old baby holding a controller upside down. Yeah, you are getting the business.
Infonova.
What's up, gamers? We are back once again with another episode of Infinite Rushdown, one of the only fighting game focused podcasts on the whole internet, the only podcast with fighting game swagger. Just gotta put that out there. I'm your host, The Blacksmith, and I'm definitely proud to introduce my co-host, Perfect Legend. What's up, man?
What's good?
Hey, man, we've been getting a lot more views, man. That last podcast was really dope, and I hope we keep the momentum going.
Yeah, man, I don't know how many people have been watching, but I'm glad that we're getting exposure.
Yeah, man, I really think we're doing something good. But, you know, I know that you have been tweeting and you've been talking about something that's been, a topic that's been near and dear to you, that's really been weighing on your heart, man. I want you to let that free. Let everybody know what's on your mind.
Oh, it's basically like seeing like how League of Legends has like $1 million payout for freaking first place. Yeah, split five ways. So I'm like, when are fight games going to get to that level? And I was trying to talk to people and see what they thought about the situation. But it seems like most fight game players, they don't want it to get to that level for whatever reason. It's like the players that can't win don't feel like, you know, players, I guess, that can win or be in that position to get that, obtain that prize money, should even be in that position. But it's okay for people to basically play poker and make as much money as they do. And I don't know. I don't feel that's right, simply because, like, well, I'm not knocking League of Legends or poker or anything like that, but I just feel like there's enough to go around for everyone. I don't think that there should be people with a mindset to hold anyone back, you know? Mm. And I want fighting games to get to that level. I actually want all games to get to that level. Mm. And as it stands, it's like people just want it to either not get to that level or, well, of course, just keep it stagnant. Because, I mean, things have been growing, but at a very slower rate. Like, I'm hoping, like, maybe, like, IPL picks up something next year. MLG keeps going with, you know, the games that it's using, especially like Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat has been greatly supporting them. And outside of me being a top player in that game, like, NK has been, like, basically the forefront of supporting MLG in the tournaments. Like, even if there's a tournament on the same day as another, like, fight game event, people will still show up to both in like, big numbers, you know? Mm-hmm. And that says a lot. And then, like, Warner Brothers is really supportive of their game, and they've helped keep it alive with the patches and just, you know, adding money to the pot and stuff. You know, it's keeping, like, they keep their game healthy and with interest.
I feel you, man. It's really weird because League of Legends is a free-to-play game.
Right.
And, you know,
but you have to buy the characters. Each character is, like, $10. And if you want to skin for the character, you got to pay additional money. So, like, yeah, the game is free to get initially, but to play with some of the better characters and stuff, you got to pay for them. And people, they don't factor that in, because they're like, oh, it's just $10, so you spend $100 on the game alone. So people complain about DLC, but they'll pay like money out the ass for League of Legends.
I think one of the reasons that's possibly people find that to be more acceptable has to do with the fact that it's almost like a cheat. You know, if there was a way for you to, let's see, like, it's hard to compare it to anything with Mortal Kombat because everything was available in the season pass, you know, and it allowed you to do a lot of things. Like, you got the extra fatalities, you got the extra costumes, and it wasn't at a large cost. I mean, I think the season pass was $30, and I'm a real fan of the season pass business model.
But yeah, I can't even remember how much the season pass cost, but it was pretty cheap.
Yeah, and I think if there was a way for you to upgrade your skills, you know what I mean, and be able to, you know, compete with someone on your level, more people would be more interested in it, you know, because in a way, League of Legends is allowing people to upgrade their character or get a better character without putting in the work. You know, and there's really no comparative, you know, example with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But I've go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I mean, I don't know what, like, Cross Tekken charged for their DLC, but I know, like, MK, like, yeah, you could either pay for the DLC or you could have just bought Complete Edition, which mm-hmm. was, you know, basically you're paying for the same game, but it's still, it's like $40. And mm-hmm. I think they went down the price, too, so it wasn't $59.99, like, initially.
Exactly. And you also, the PlayStation Vita version was also, you know, $40. So it's kind of confusing because you would think that, you know, because it has so much support that there will be more money in the tournaments for it. But I think that because the same group of individuals who are willing to put in the time and willing to upgrade their skills seem to always win, that a lot of people aren't, like, willing to, I guess, fight for them to be, you know, more available funds. Even though, you know, me being a spectator, you know, I watch a lot of streams, I watch a lot of tournaments. I love to, you know, just to see high-level players get it in. That's real. That's, you know, I enjoy that. So, and I wouldn't necessarily enjoy, you know, watching a stream of a lot of the other games that's out there. So, it, to me, because it holds my interest, it seems like the fighting game community might be a little bit larger than the League of Legends community. I'm not really sure.
Oh no. League of Legends community? Okay. All right, fighting community is, like, really a lot smaller than League of Legends. All right, for example, Evo had, I think, 100,000 viewers mm-hmm. at most, maybe, or 90-something. League of Legends had millions of viewers watching wow. the World Finals, okay? So League of Legends, like, freaking people that you wouldn't even think played it play the game. Like, they play it as just a pastime or anything. Like, one, because it's free, and, of course, because you could just, you know, buy DLC characters or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's RPG, RTS type, where you just level up and stuff. So people have that sense of accomplishment when they play the game, especially, like, when you level up or something like that. Yeah. And the game is really, you know, simple to understand. Fight games, it's like you have to devote so many months or years into learning a game. Like, for example, I'm as good at fight games because I've been playing for 20 years, you know? Mm. I'm playing since I was, like, 3 or 4 years old. Like, I started with Mortal Kombat. Or, no, actually, I started with Street Fighter. And then, you know, I played the first Mortal Kombat. And, you know, there's a lot of muscle memory and time that went into playing those games that, you know, like, I know I do a fireball. There's people who don't even understand the concept of throwing a fireball. Like, as far as, like, just doing the motion alone. Like, even to this day, it's hard. And they kind of simplified the command for people. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that into consideration. You have, like, a lot of memorization for combos and stuff. And then, you know, it's a lot more reaction-based. You know, League of Legends isn't as relaxed. Well, it's not really. I mean, there's more strategy in League of Legends and, like, spacing and stuff than there is, like, reaction and stuff. In Street Fighter, there's a certain learning curve you have to get through to even be competitive. Actually, it's the same thing for League of Legends. But then League, you have to get a team and stuff. You want to be competitive, and that's always a hassle. I think, in my honest opinion, it would be harder to be a top player in League of Legends simply because of the fact that you need a team and you need good team chemistry, and your team has to be good as well. In fighting games, you can just kind of, you know, level up yourself and then go and compete, and then you win. But as far as the learning curve, I feel like fighting games are harder. Mm. But as far as the viewership, League of Legends is the most watched video game, like, competitively right now. Okay. Like, it broke records during the World Championship.
I just learned something right there. Appreciate you schooling me.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, wow, why aren't fight games at this level?
And I'm like, is because and one thing, League of Legends is actually supported by its developers. Riot Games, they support their game. Like, they, you know, make sure, like, prizes is healthy and stuff. I mean, first place was $1 million, and that's 250 grand split between five people. Well, 250, well, it's 1 million split between five people. Everyone got 250 grand to claim their own. Mm-hmm. And then it trickled down to, like, 11th and 12th place, they got money. And, you know, Riot Games, like, they're backed by, like, a very wealthy, like, I guess $1 billion or something Chinese company, I heard. So that's probably why there's a lot of money in the game as well. But I was like, well, Warner Brothers is probably a bigger company than that. And they're, like, back in MK and Justice. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I wonder if they decide to, you know, I guess, be a competitor with League and be like, hey, you know, we're going to put up some stuff too. Because I know, like, Mortal Kombat is marketability over, and Injustice with their characters like Batman and Superman, their marketability is a lot higher than in League of Legends. That's how I feel. But it's just like with fighting games, they have to figure out a different kind of model to sell to people. Because right now, as it stands, League of Legends, like, business model is really great. Like, imagine if in a fighting game, you bought a fighting game and each character was $10. So if you're playing Street Fighter that has like 30 plus characters and you have to pay $10 for each character instead of like paying for, they give free updates for League of Legends, but if you have to pay for a character just to use them, like, I think, like, well, one, Capcom would make so much money doing that, but
didn't they try that?
They kind of, I guess, with gyms, but as far as, like, the fighting community, they, whenever they're like, oh, we got to pay for DLC, we don't want to do it. So at the same time, it's also, you have to cater to consumers as well, but apparently with League of Legends, they're just like, all right, I guess if they're like, okay, Street Fighter's free, all you have to do is pay for the characters, maybe it'd be different. I don't know. They haven't tried that business model yet.
You mentioned paying for characters. I think if Street Fighter was a server-based game, because League of Legends is a server-based game.
Yeah.
If Street Fighter was a server-based game, I think it would have been easier for them, and people would have been more accepting of paying for the DLC characters. But due to the fact that they actually had that information on the disc is what angered people, because they feel like they're paying twice for the same content. And I think that's where they slipped up, you know, by doing it the lazy way and, you know, just saying, okay, hey, we're going to have this content on here, but we're just going to have you pay for an unlock. And the unlock is like $20. That's what I think where the outcry from the industry came, you know, because Capcom does a lot, you know, for the community. They're actually, you know, I think they're, as far as like tournament wise, their tournaments are the biggest. They have the most tournaments.
That's only because of the community that has built a foundation for the scene for like almost, I'm not going to say 20 years, but I guess 20 years, because, you know, you have to go back to the Tomohiro days with Mike Watson and stuff. They've been playing since, like, World Warrior. Mm-hmm. And that's back to maybe, like, 92. You know, that's a long time coming from then to now. So, and that's mainly because of a lot of, you know, just the California guys and East Coast guys. And it kind of started in California as far as, like, tournaments and stuff with the Cannons. So they have a lot of history. I mean, like, all right, let's... All right, okay, so the last Evo before, like, Street Fighter 4 came out, the highest amount of interest was made for Third Strike, which was, like, big, right? It was the biggest game there, always biggest game. It was, like, 300 people. That was, like, the highest number out there, right? And for, like, you to be considered a major fighting game to be on the circuit, you had to have, like, 100 people and no less. Now, Street Fighter gets 1,000 to 2,000 people. Now, I was saying, like, okay, well, going from looking at Third Strike before Street Fighter, because Street Fighter, like, it was a big boom. Like, Street Fighter, without a question, was Street Fighter 4, without a question, is the biggest fighting game in the world. Especially, it was, you know, living off the hype of Justin and Daigo, because, you know, when they end up playing at GameStop National, they play again at Evo. You know, people just want to get into the game, because, one, it's fun, it looks good. Street Fighter 4, what it does really good is it merges the legacy curve, well, it balances out the legacy curve of just, you know, playing Street Fighter for 10 years, you know how to play it because you've been playing it for so long, but also it's good with bringing in new stuff like the focus attack and like the revenge meter and stuff like that, and blending that in so new players don't feel like they have such a big hurdle to get past before they can be competitive. That's what Street Fighter does really well. Mm-hmm. And like, going from that, I look at Mortal Kombat, and I'm like, okay, the first year MK was there, it had 500 people. This, you know, despite, like, having, and all those 500 people were interested in the game. They're like, yeah, some of them came from other games and stuff. But still, that, I mean, that's what Street Fighter community is. Everyone who plays Street Fighter plays everything else, too. So I look at, okay, MK, outside of Street Fighter and Marvel, had the biggest fighting game tournament in the history of Evo. Outside of every other game, like, more than Tekken, more than Calibur, more than anything else has been there besides Street Fighter and Marvel. So that tells me a lot. And even this year, in the second year, it was 300 people. And still, more than Tekken's ever had, and more than Soul Calibur ever had. And like, the behind that was just KOF, but KOF, a lot of people were, like, no-shows. They just signed up because they want their free shirt and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, MK has, you know, a big following like that. And I feel like, down the road, like 5 years from now, MK will probably be his biggest Street Fighter. You know, like this, you know, I know we'll have Injustice out by then. Maybe we might have an MK10 or an update or something like that. But I feel like MK is going a great route as far as, you know, building that legacy. Well, not the legacy curve of the game, but building that legacy as far as, you know, the amount of people play it and stuff, and the support from the community and the support from developers. But the thing is, the Capcom community, they built their stuff from scratch. They didn't have, you know, anyone putting money into the game or anything. They do it all 100% for the love of the game, which is really commendable because, I mean, well, one, of course, if you have an interest of people, like, wanting to play the game and stuff, it's easy to do. But when you play a game that doesn't have a lot of people and then people are too lazy to travel and stuff like that, it's kind of hard to play the game because you don't want to play with the same people all the time. You want to play, you see more new faces and stuff, and as long as you keep things going, you always see that. Because, you know, Street Fighter community, they don't let their games die. They keep playing. Even if they get bored, they keep playing. You know, because they do it for the community and because they like hanging out with people they've learned, I mean, met over the years and stuff. And I feel like Mortal Kombat, out of all the games I've played and been a part of, that's going the same route.
I think Warner Brothers does an excellent job of supporting their titles. You know, especially, you know, starting with Mortal Kombat, they've been really pushing to try to make it better and try to implement different features in order to comply to how the community feels about their games without, you know, fluctuating in one specific direction too greatly. Yeah. So I really appreciate that, and I definitely feel like Injustice, you were right when you mentioned that Injustice, the following that those characters have, like, they're embedded in a lot of people's childhood, you know?
Right.
I mean, me personally, you know, I grew up watching the Batman animated series.
Yeah, me too.
And the Superman animated series, and, you know, I moved on to Justice League and things like that. So I think, you know, those characters have just as much following, if not more, than Street Fighter. So I think, you know, that has the best chance of...
Exactly. They've been around since, like, the 60s and the 70s, you know? So, yeah. Of course, they have, like, a bigger following, like, even to the older crowd. So people who aren't even in the games will watch because they're like, well, I like seeing this character. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, be just emotion in general. Because it gives that nostalgic feeling. That's a big reason why Mortal Kombat was the most selling fight game, and also why, you know, so many people were just interested in just looking at it and talking about it, because it's a nostalgic feeling. Like, Mortal Kombat is America's, like, fighting game. That's how I feel. Mm. Like, I mean, Street Fighter kind of is too, but, of course, it was created in Japan.
Yeah.
But, like, Mortal Kombat was made here and created here, just like, you know, the DC Comics characters were made here and created here.
Yeah, even if you go back to, you know, the early days in arcade, because I've told many people this, I've never said it on the podcast, but, you know, fighting games like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, I really feel saved my life. You know, I grew up in a really tough urban neighborhood, you know, mm-hmm. Brooklyn, New York, and a lot of times, instead of going out, you know, getting into trouble, you know, I was in that little laundromat or that little bodega in the back playing Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, you know? And it took up a lot of my time and it took up a lot of my interest. And when it came out, like, on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis in those days, I spent a lot of time, you know, in the house after school playing that, you know, in my free time, then running the streets, getting in trouble, you know, and getting caught up in things, you know? So fighting games, you know, I totally admit it saved my life. That's why I love them so much. But I definitely feel like you're right. The community, they definitely need to grow. Do you think it's possible that an outside entity needs to come in that that will help to push it to more of a mainstream audience, like CBS or NBC or, you know, their parent companies to come in and actually have these tournaments played on like a national television?
Well, hell yeah. I mean, freaking League of Legends was, all right, League of Legends was streamed live and also on television in Korea.
Mm.
So in Korea, apparently they had 2 million viewers, and then on stream there's 1 million. So, yeah, I think, I mean, you need viewership. And that's where it's going to go.
Mm. No doubt. So, you know, hopefully it definitely will get to that level. And look, and the way it's looking, Injustice is definitely going to be that title that could possibly push it to that upper echelon. So, speaking of Injustice, it's a good segue to our next topic, which is... Hector Sanchez mentioned a great amount of details for the online component that Injustice will have. He mentioned some of the architecture of the game that they're going to focus on and how they're going to actually try to improve it to, you know, bring in a wider audience. So one of the match types that he mentioned was King of the Hill. Are you a fan of that match type?
Well, honestly, I mean, King of the Hill is great, but for me personally, I don't like King of the Hill because I'm never a fan of lobbies. I just want to do 1v1 so I can get as much matches as I possibly can. I don't get on a game, especially a fight game, to watch people play. I get on to practice. And I don't want to, you know, play a match. I want to play versus one specific opponent. I mean, I don't want to sit and, like, streak somebody. It's not fun for me. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't learn anything as a player. I want to need to play against something I'm not accustomed to so I can lose as much as I can to then figure out what I'm doing wrong or, you know, play a set to see where I can gauge myself, you know? And that's why I'd rather play 1v1 over, like, playing in King of the Hill.
I think one of the features that made King of the Hill so, I guess, attractive to people were the little avatars.
Yeah.
That reacted on screen, and that was almost a show in itself, just paying attention to how the little avatars reacted to what was going on screen, and, you know, just having that subsystem.
It made you feel like you're at the arcade. Factor.
Exactly. It was like a putting a quarter on top of the cabinet.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're actually focusing on that aspect of it, do you think... that's going to bring more people in? Or do you feel like there's other components of the multiplayer portion of the game that they could focus on to make it better?
It's about the online feature?
Yeah.
Well, they could get rid of, like, as far as the netcode or just online in general?
I mean, like, match types. Do you feel like there's different kinds of match types? That they could improve on, or that you would like to see in the game that'll make it more entertaining, in your opinion?
Honestly, like me, I guess I'm straight basic and simple. I just want a good 1v1 to where, you know, I can just... I mean, 1v1 is always going to be, you know, there. So that's all I want. Like, I don't really need anything extra at all.
So you wouldn't like to have... like a system that they have in Street Fighter where you can actually download different high-level players' matches?
Nah. I mean, I guess that'd be good for newer players coming up, but for me personally, I don't need that. But it would probably be good for the game, but you can't just download their matches. Like, you can follow certain players, but unless they upload videos, you can't see anything. Like, you know what would be cool that no one else has done? I mean, someone's probably going to take this idea. But they better pay me or something, or I'm going to copyright it. But what they could do is whenever a major tournament is happening, like the game will show a stream of the tournament. Like, you can go or watch previous match videos of the tournament. Like, say, any match you play online, or not online, but any match you play on the game, like, there should be some kind of way to where you can either stream the match or save the tournament match, and then it gets uploaded as a major event. Like, I guess set up some way with, like, a network of streamers, or maybe WB can come out with their own, like, stream channel called WB Games, and anytime you stream, like, a Injustice or Mortal Kombat tournament, it has to go through WB Games or like, Injustice Games or something. So, like, and then that the results of the tournament will show up or flash on the screen at the bottom. Like, say you're watching, like, you know, ESPN, it'll show, like, the results from, like, some past, like, football or basketball game. Like, it'll do that as far as tournaments go for, you know, Mortal Kombat and Injustice. So it'll show up, and then, like, not only that, you can click on it and then watch the match as far as, like, look at the results. So then, like, people will be like, you know, players randomly, like, they don't even know about tournaments. They see this, like, hey, what is this? They go look at it, and then they get introduced to tournaments. And then it adds more replay value for them to play the game.
So basically have, like, a ticker at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, in order for a player to be able to, like, go through a portal and be able to watch another match, like, games will have to be on that next level where they're actually on a cloud, you know, because it'll be really difficult to like, leave a match and then go somewhere else. But that is a really dope idea, and I hope somebody actually takes that into consideration and implements
and pay me for it.
Dope. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, kid. You know, this is being recorded right now, so you're going to be on record as Perfect Legend being the first to, you know what I mean, spit this idea out.
Right.
No doubt. Another aspect of improvements that they announced they're working on is an enhanced version of the Combo Breaker. Now, I know you know that in Mortal Kombat 9, the Combo Breaker system was like a lifeline. You know,
yeah. Like, you needed that meter to break her. Like, for example, Cyrus would be unbeatable if you didn't have a breaker.
Because his resets are crazy, right?
Yeah, you need breaker to, like, at least, you know, get rid of some of his damage. Because, like, he does 50% even without, like, breaker. So, like, you kind of have to get that to run away. Like, Cabal would lose so bad to Cyrus if there was no breaker. Because his whole game is get meter for breaker. And then air breaker to get away and then run away forever. But I think there should be some kind of way to where you can bait a breaker and punish it. Not like how Cyrex does it, because he's the only one character that really can do it in the game. He can lay a bomb and put you in a setup to where if you break her, you get by the bomb. But if you don't break her, you get by the combo. It's kind of stupid. But I feel like, I guess every character in the set should be able to do it. There should be combos that are unbreakable, which they do have, which are like straight up projectiles. Combos where you can't break the projectiles, but that's it. Like, at first, like, Shang Tsung was seen as a really strong character because you can't break his fireballs. He did, like, 40% with his fireball combos, but he ended up not being, like, so strong as the other characters. But I think there should be a way to either punish a breaker or something like that. Like, use your own meter to, you know, stop, make it so, like, if they try to break her, your combo, you can use... I mean, maybe that's how the new breaker system works. I don't know, because I haven't played the game personally, so I couldn't even say. But it'll be, I guess, meter versus meter. Like, you can spin a bar meter so they can't breaker your combo or something.
So almost like... I wouldn't say call it a snapback feature, but almost like if you're in the middle of a combo and somebody breaks your combo and you also have combo breaker level meter... In your field, you can actually reintroduce the combo.
Yeah, something like that.
That'll be dope, because, you know, that I think that will add, like, a new system to it. You know, or you call it, like, a combo breaker counter.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, I don't know, did you use the X-ray functionality any?
Hell yeah. Freaking Kung Lao. Shit, Kung Lao is, like, one of the best X-rays in the game. And then, like, Sub-Zero's good X-ray. Who else has good X-ray? Raiden has good X-ray. But Johnny Cage's X-ray is R8.
In tournament play, though, what do you think that fun? Yeah?
X-ray is usable in tournament.
Okay. No, I know it would be, but I didn't know if it was really relevant. Because I rarely ever see
A lot of X-rays are, but some aren't. Like, I would never fucking use, like, Scorpion's X-ray in tournament. I would never use Cabal's X-ray intern. His X-ray is terrible.
So what dictates a good use of an X-ray or a good X-ray to be used in tournament and one that isn't?
All right, for example, when Kung Lao gets a full bar of meter, he obviously has his X-ray. So, like, you kind of don't want to try to counterpoke him out of his block strings, but then at the same time, you kind of have no choice because he just chips you, and then, you know, eventually you start losing life and you try to get away, and then he starts hitting you with combos and stuff. But the moment you try to hit him, he can X-ray you. His X-ray is just as fast as spin, and it's safer than spin because you can't punish it, and has armor. So instead of him actually having to beat you out on a specific frame, be neutral, he can just do the X-ray and you know, do like almost 50%. You have to break for the combo because it does 50%. That, and also you can't jump at him either because the X-ray will just hit you. He doesn't have to time it or anything; just do it.
Mm.
And like it's kind of the same thing for like Sub-Zero's X-ray goes full screen almost, and it's like plus or zero on block. So even if you block it, he can still like pressure you. And he can also cancel it and hit you. And like Reptile's X-ray goes through projectiles and stuff, and it's just a bunch of stuff like that that gives every like X-ray his own special usage.
Yeah.
But those are some ways why they're really good, because usually, you know, X-ray is armor or, you know, it's really fast or something, or blows through projectiles, something like that.
Okay, so the different elements that either gives it invincibility or that you're able to cancel into a combo actually makes it more usable than something that it gives it better use than another character's X-ray that might be punishable.
Yeah, because some X-rays, you want to not even use the X-ray, just use the meter for EX moves, yeah. Which I guess they call pro moves in MK. So, like, every character has a different strategy like that.
Mm. The reason I asked that was there could be a possibility that they could actually take out the X-ray moves and add the counter to the combo breaker. Do you think that would be better?
No, they could keep the X-ray and still have the counter for the combo breaker.
Mm. So just have it build up, instead of have it build up to three different components, have it build up to four?
No, it'll take a certain amount of year. Like, say, breaker would be, breaker is 2 bars. I guess the counter to the breaker will also be 2 bars or a bar or something, you know?
Mm. Don't you think that would be a little too simple? Like, you would have to actually, you know, work to save up.
Well, it shouldn't be too complicated, you know? I mean, like, you should choose, like, do you want to try to breaker here and end up, okay, say, all right, situation, I put you in a combo. You have 2 bars meter to break. I have a bar meter to counter your breaker. So you're like, well, I could breaker here, but he has a bar meter to counter my breaker. If I use his bar, I can end up still taking additional combo damage because I decided to breaker and lose my meter. And me, I'm only using 1 bar to counter your breaker. So you have to think, do you really want to do that? But then, like, I guess maybe with 3 bars of meter, you could do, like, a breaker counter or something. Or, like, you can counter the counter of the breaker or something. I don't know.
You know what we need to do, man? You know what we really need to do? We need to get Hector Sanchez in here, man.
Oh, well, let's contact him.
Let's do that, man. Let's get him in here. Because, I saw him at New York Comic Con, and I told him, you know, that we're doing the podcast. And, you know, he seemed really interested. You know, we got to go through the proper channels. But, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to email this podcast to him. Hopefully he gives it a listen, and, you know, I mean, we can make it happen, because I think the concept of the things that, you know, we're talking about here really has some value.
Yeah.
You know, and especially coming from, you know, the 2-time world champion Mortal Kombat player. It needs to have some, at least a listen to.
I mean, yeah, I wish I could get to, I mean, like, when I was in Chicago, I didn't get to see any of those guys, but hopefully I get to go and talk to them or something, because I would love to, like, give them some of my ideas, especially for things to further esports, because I know they really want to make sure Mortal Kombat is seen in that limelight, and I feel like it has a really good chance, especially, like, you know, at MLG, we broke the cap for Mortal Kombat. The cap was 64, and now we're at 75, and, you know, we're still, like, 2 weeks away from the event.
Mm. That's going to be
about a week and a half, but still, like, you know,
That's dope. I'm always happy to see, you know, things evolve in the fighting game industry, because like I mentioned before, I love it so much.
Right.
All right, no doubt. So another topic I wanted to touch on is the fact that Tekken Tag Tournament 2 is actually charging, not a lot, but still they're charging for specific parts of DLC. They have a bonus movie pack where it has different individual movies from Tekken, the original Tekken, Tekken 2, Tekken 3, and Tekken Tag Tournament, which is available for 400 Microsoft points or $5 on the PSN and $2 individually. They also have a bonus track pack, has different songs from Tekken 4, Tekken 5, and Tekken 6. Or the bundle is 320 Microsoft points and $4 on PSN and also $2 individually. Now, the reason I think this has relevance is because in lieu of the whole Capcom DLC character debacle, it was made known that Harada mentioned that he wouldn't charge for any DLC on Tekken Tag 2. Well,
let's be serious here. The Tekken, the whole soundtrack, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I mean, whoops, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and Tag 1 and 2 deserves, I mean, the music is so good, I will pay for it. I don't care. And I did. I bought it. I don't care. It's really good. So I'm not complaining about that. But yeah, he did go back on his word, but I feel like the music is good enough to where, you know, it deserves to be paid for it.
The thing that concerns me the most is, you know, are these, you know, on Xbox 360, you can play any music you want during the game. It's automatically integrated. Yeah. But on PlayStation 3, that functionality is funny a little bit. Some games allow you to do it, some games don't. I don't know if you're actually able to integrate these into the game, but other than you just listening to them on your own, I'm wondering what other functionality does this have? Because I hope that it has some kind of additional functionality, like I can actually listen to this music while I'm playing the game or while I'm playing a friend, even if he doesn't have that same, you know, the music pack.
Yeah, you'll, like, on your Xbox, you'll always hear it. Like, you just have to sign it to a stage. That's it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if you go to, like, for example, for the Snow Castle stage, I have the original Snow Castle music for Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection. So I go to that stage and I hear that. I don't hear, like, the Tekken Tag version. I hear Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection version. And that's every time I go to the stage. And if I play online, too, or play offline, go to practice mode, it's the same thing.
Okay. Now, for the music, cool. You explained that. That's definitely explainable. But the movie pack, like, and this is not...
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't got that.
Is it really relevant? One, and two, why even charge?
I guess for the fans that want that, yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess for people... I mean, I don't know if it's a movie pack as far as, like, the endings and stuff from past Tekken games. If it's that, then, I mean, people can, you know, spend their money on whatever. Like, I bought the music pack, but it's probably just for the fans. But he did say there would be no DLC. So, I mean, priced DLC, so still, I mean...
Does that disappoint you a little bit that, you know, that he went back?
No, because I didn't expect him to put out the Tekken Tag music. The previous Tekken game music. Because I was like, man, I don't like such and such stages music, but I like this stage's music. But then it gives me, you know, a collection of music I can just use upon each stage. And I don't have to worry about anything.
I just hope that, you know...
I wish I could do that for DOA, because, some of the music is really quiet. And also the lobby music, like, okay, the song is cool and all, but I don't want to listen to that while I'm in the lobby. I want to hear DOA 2's lobby music, I want to hear my own stuff. And you can't change it or anything. Like, a big thing about games nowadays is customization, whether it be, like, characters or, you know, music or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't allow you that customization. All they give you is, like, options to download the DLC costumes of past, you know, costumes and stuff. It's not like as wide as Tekken or Virtua Fighter's customization, or even Cross Tekken's customization.
Now, when mentioning this, I have to give him a shout out. Even though I'm kind of disappointed by the fact that they even charging for any DLC, and you know, for movies, and you know, see, actually, you pay $1 more than the music, so it's not really, you know, relevant, and it would be for the hardcore. But he did mention on Twitter that people were asking about, you know, the Angel character and the Ogre character and all those pre-order DLC characters that you can only get for pre-order in the game. They were asking, yeah, when are we going to be able to play with these characters, you know, because you said everything was going to be free. So he did mention over Twitter that if you're patient, that you'll be able to download these characters in time. He didn't give a specific date, but he also didn't say that they were going to have any cost associated with them.
Yeah. So, well, I just know for tournaments, it's a hassle because people want to play with their characters if they got the DLC, you know. But then it sucks because then some people don't have the DLC characters.
Exactly. So it creates kind of a split, you know, not a large split, but, you know, you have the group who might love Angel or who might love Ogre, or, you know, one of the DLC characters and want to, you know, use them in tournament. Then you have the group that's like, hey, just play with the characters that's already available to you.
Yeah.
You know? So I hope everything, you know, I mean, melds together nicely and we actually, you know, get to play with all the characters eventually, because that would be awesome. So, another topic, you know, which caught my eye was that the fact that Guilty Gear XX Action Core is going to be available for Xbox 360 for $15 or 1,200 Microsoft points. Now, I love Guilty Gear. You know, when I first played Guilty Gear, you know, it's the style of it, the way it was stylized, the way the characters move, you know, the way, you know, I love playing with Soul, because he was Ryu, but he was like a badass version of Ryu. You know what I'm saying? Kai was also a good dude to play with, but, you know, Soul, bad guy, was just, I really liked that character. He impressed me off gate, you know, by his moveset, you know, his cross-ups. Everything about him was just dope. But when I think about how old this game is, and I see the price, I'm like, are these guys crazy? Is our system bugging out? Because, you know, you can get Skullgirls for that price.
Well, I just know I'm not paying for it. I'm not buying it. I'm not even going to touch Guilty Gear. Because, like, there's people who are even playing this game for years, so if they decide to have this game at tournaments again, you gotta sit here and be like, oh, wow, cool, this game isn't really new. I have to sit here and play level up for years before I can get to a certain player's level or something. So, I'm not interested in it because I'm playing other games too, but, like, $15 is probably, I mean, what was Marvel 2 price when it first came out on Xbox Live? Okay, if that was $15, then there's nothing to complain about.
I don't think it was $15. I think when I bought Marvel 2, it was for 25% off. So, and that was like $7. So I think it was $9.99. So, you know, and I don't even think like Guilty Gear got to the level of Marvel 2.
It's definitely not. Of course not. It's definitely not the level of Marvel 2. It's not the level of like Street Fighter HD Remix or anything like that. So, but at the same time, it's really popular in Japan. It's popular here too amongst like the anime fans and stuff. Like, it was probably the most popular anime game first before Arcane Heart came out and Melty Blood and all other stuff, and Blaze Blue as well. So it's like, it's kind of the granddaddy. So maybe, you know, it does merit the price, because I mean, the game is very visually stunning, especially for its age, and still, you know, the music is really good stuff too. So maybe it is. And I know the gameplay is really solid.
I have to disagree with you, man, because I'm a big fan of PlayStation Plus. You know, and we I think it was two podcasts ago, we mentioned that PlayStation Plus just gave away King of Fighters 13 for free.
You're right, for free. And they did that for Virtua Fighter as well. But exactly. Maybe just Xbox Live. Xbox Live is just trying to get people for their money. I mean, they charge you $50 a year for online play. It's just a little bit better than PlayStation.
Exactly. I just don't think... But the company has to agree to this. You know, Microsoft can't just be like, oh, we're going to put it out there.
Right.
You know, they have to... I think they should have more consideration for the community. You know, especially if they're supporting, you know, their title. Like, it just doesn't make sense. How are you going to put out King of Fighters for free and then go back and put out a 10-year-old game for $15? It's just, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, and I just think there should be some kind of, you know, consideration for the community out there, because there's a lot of fighting games out there, you know, a whole lot. You know, and every little bit helps. If you really want to like reignite the community to be behind your game, you know, put it out there for free. You know, it's not gonna hurt you much. I mean, you might get, you know, putting it out there for $15.
Well, they still have to pay Microsoft or PSN just to even get the game on there. So they got to make their money back as well. So from that standpoint as well, like, no one's gonna be like, all right, yeah, you can put your game for free on our, you know, on our network. Like, that's not how it works. So they have to make their money back.
I've seen games on there for free for like, all right, if you're Xbox Live Gold, they'll give you the game for free. Or if you're PlayStation Plus, they'll give you the game for free. At least make it available people for free.
Yeah, you still have to pay for PlayStation Plus though.
True, very true.
And you still have to pay for Xbox Live Gold, so it's not all the way free. It's just perks to having the subscription.
Exactly.
That's it.
But I think this one is available to, regardless of what, you know, extra, you know, online mode you're paying for, you still have to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
I just don't see the relevance. And I hope it doesn't become a trend. You know, I hope a lot of companies see that.
I just hope whatever trend that they decide to do, they should follow League of Legends.
That's the only trend you're trying to see, huh?
Yeah, man, that's the only trend I'm trying to see. When I see $1 billion, I'm like, yo, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
I know
it's not 1,000, it's a million. It's not 100,000, it's $1 million. That's a trend that needs to be followed, and I think it needs to be copy and pasted everywhere.
I can feel you, and I know why you feel like that. You're trying to get that money.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, dude, people are so, like, scared to be like, yeah, I'm like, all right, first off, I've said this before, and no one would tackle me on this issue, and I was like, look, if tournaments didn't pay out anything at all, there's no prize money, a lot of the people who go to tournaments would not go to tournaments. Like, yeah, there are people who go because they love to play and stuff, but they want to watch the top players play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go because they want to meet like Chris G and Justin Wong and stuff, or meet me or whatever. And if there's nothing to draw those players, there's nothing to draw the other players as well. And, you know, if you would put time and dedication to something, you want to get something out of it. And unfortunately, we need money to live, or we need money to just, you know, get by and stuff. Like, yeah, you can have a job and stuff, but you wouldn't work at your job if they weren't paying you shit.
Mm.
It's the same thing for everything. You know, money makes the world go around. So, yeah, I would like a piece of that pie. And so with other players as well. They won't go on record saying it because they don't want to look bad or whatever, but let's be real with yourselves here. Why are people, you know, playing stuff? Like, why do people get mad when players split the money, like, you know, pot money or anything? What if they're just playing for love? Like, dude, get out of here with that.
So when you say split the pot money, you mean like...
Like, if me and somebody or somebody else and somebody get first and second, they're like, hey, let's split first and second. Instead of have to worry about them. Because, all right, it's 70-20-10. There's a big, you know, it's 50% between 70 and 20%. So instead of splitting that 50-50, like, say, you know, if it's $1,000 instead of me getting $700, somebody else getting $200, they split that 50-50, then it's like, what, $450 a piece, you know? So instead of having to work, like, you playing somebody at equal skill and you're afraid of, you know, I don't do this personally. I don't, because I'm like, look, I'm going to buy whoever I play in the finals. I don't care who it is. I don't care if Jesus came down. He's like, yeah, I'm going to beat you because I know what you. No, it's not going to happen. That's how I feel. I'm not going to split.
You ain't even going to split it with Jesus, man.
No, I'm not. Afterwards, you know, I like, you know, pray to him and all that other stuff, but no, I'm not going to split.
You're going to give you a 10% though. You just can't do 50.
Nah. I'm like, dude, you get that 20% of the pie, but nah, son, no. Not split.
Cold blooded.
And plus, like, it's kind of like disrespectful to yourself, because if you're spending all this time practicing, right, just to go to a tournament to split with somebody, it's like you didn't have any confidence in yourself to win from the get-go.
And I think that's...
And also, you're cheating the rest of the players that showed up, too. Because and also, the viewers, too, they want to know who the best player is, not who the two best players are. You don't know who would have won because they split, you know?
I think that's the reason why, you know, a lot of people are kind of afraid and don't want to, you know what I mean, go up against somebody that's, like, dominates a specific game like yourself. Like, you know what I mean? The average dude, he's not sitting at home like, damn, man, next tournament, I want to play Perfect Legend. You know what I'm saying? The average dude.
Yeah, I always get the, you're playing Perfect Legend first. I always get the, man, just stay home. I could just stay in my hotel. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude.
Yo, when somebody has to play you in a bracket first, do you give them a round? Well, you know you're going to body them.
No, I don't. I don't take mercy on anyone. I go full force. If you are a little kid, you are 2 years old, and you're holding the controller upside down, I'm going to play you like you're the best player in the world. So I'm going to give you my, I'm going to like body you. I don't care.
Oh. Yo, that's going to be the beginning of the podcast right there.
Oh. Yeah, 2-year-old baby holding a controller upside down. Yeah, you are getting the business. I don't care.
That's crazy right there, man.
Tough love is the best love. Okay, no, it's not. But
nah, not all the time.
Not all the time.
But no doubt, man. This has been... I don't think I've laughed this much in a long time, man. You really... That was really dope, man. So that was episode 5 right there.
Yeah, man.
Infinite Rushdown, baby. We're working on having some more guests because I really appreciated having met Swoozy Bob. Shout out to Swoozy, man. That's a good dude.
Yeah, Swoozy is a good guy.
You know, we're looking at having some more people on, and that's gonna be it, man. I appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Game of Swagger. At Perfect Legend, like our Facebook page. Facebook.
Y'all make sure y'all retweet and subscribe or whatever you got to do.
Yes, please share the content. We are trying to get this, you know, out there. And anything you could do, share it on your Facebook page, retweet everything, man. We really appreciate it. So no doubt, that's going to be it for us, man. Until next week, game harder, don't game at all. Peace.